Welcome to Refuge Radio. I'm your host, Kristen Berry. Refuge Radio is a podcast about the National Wildlife Refuge Association and the nation's National Wildlife Refuge System, spanning more than 850 million acres of land and waters as part of a growing network of 567 refuges, at least one in every state. Today, we're speaking with the National Wildlife Refuge Association's Acting Vice President of Government Affairs, Caroline Brower. In her work with the National Wildlife Refuge Association, Caroline advances federal conservation policies focusing on federal conservation funding and legislation affecting the National Wildlife Refuge System. Caroline, welcome to Refuge Radio.
Good afternoon, Kristen. Thanks for having me on.
Happy to have you, and I know our listeners will be excited to hear what we're talking about today. You know, a lot's been happening in the world of National Wildlife Refuges and policy affecting those refuges. This summer, we saw action on Eisenbeck and the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, Desert National Wildlife Refuge, and refuges all along our southern border. But today, I want to talk with you about an issue that faces all refuges, and all refuges face this issue every year. And that's funding. Caroline, walk us through what refuge system funding is and why it's such a big issue. And why do refuges even need funding? Aren't they just public lands and just exist? I mean, what do they need dollars for?
Great question. So the way that these refuges get funding is from appropriations from Congress. And on refuges, these appropriations fund everything. It funds everything from staff paychecks to environmental education programs to the hunt fish programs to law enforcement and trail management, trail maintenance, visitor services, upkeep, visitor centers for upkeep, any repairs that need to be done to any trails or buildings or anything like that. All of that comes out of appropriations dollars that's appropriated by Congress every year. So we are in a current situation with funding in this country on refuges where we've got states that only have one law enforcement officer, like the state of Michigan, and there are refuges in the Upper Peninsula, and there's refuges down in Detroit, and they have one law enforcement officer for the entire state. And these refuges are almost 400 miles apart. This is not a unique situation in Michigan. There are a number of states that only have one law enforcement officer, and there's some states that have none. You know, we've got places where there's one visitor services staffer for several different refuges and aren't even close to each other. And, you know, these visitor services staffers, they help guide visitors and they provide environmental education programs to school kids. And it's a rare refuge these days that has a robust environmental education program. And, you know, over half of refuges across the country have no staff on site. So that's why funding is really, really critical for these areas. Yes, they're public lands, and, you know, public lands have to get funded from somewhere, and we need to provide visitors and wildlife with an area that's, you know, healthy and productive habitat.
Sure, makes sense to me. Can you give us some background on what funding levels have looked like over the past few years? I know this week the FY 2020 bill came out of the Senate, I believe, and I saw it on your Twitter feed, in fact, and the rest of the Refuge Association social media feeds that, and I'm going to quote it here, the Senate has approved $504 million for National Wildlife Refuges. How much of an increase is this? I mean, that's a huge number, but I don't know how that stacks up against what it should be or what it has been. And what does it mean for refuge programs?
Great. So we have really exciting news out of this year's budget cycle. So over the last, just to give you a little bit of history, over the last 10 years, the refuge system has really been caught up in this cycle of, you know, quite low budget numbers. And current funding in we're in the FY19 fiscal year right now. Well, we technically just bumped over into FY20, but there's no funding for it yet, which is another story. I'll get into that in a few minutes. So current funding is about $15 million lower than it was 10 years ago. And over those last 10 years, we've seen refuge closures, we've seen loss of staff, and really just a lack of capacity on the ground. But I'm hoping that this year is going to be different. The president's budget request this year was $21 million increased over current funding. And the House has really upped the ante and put a $26 million increase in their bill. The Senate gave us a lower number, but it's still a $16 million increase. So we're really excited about the possibility of some relief for the refuge system. We're hoping they can stabilize some of these biological and maintenance programs and really beef up their law enforcement and their urban programs. There was a small increase for the urban program, so we're hoping that the refuge system can designate their fifth urban refuge using this increased funding. You know, we don't have final numbers out yet, but I'm hopeful that we can get a significant increase to really boost what the refuge system is able to accomplish.
That sounds like a home run. Are there any policy provisions in either the House or the Senate bill that are important or potentially detrimental to refuges? I know appropriations bills are supposed to be all about the money, but appropriators always seem to find a way to slip some other policy language in there. Is there anything weird that we ought to be on the lookout for?
So there are a couple of issues that I think folks need to be aware of. In the House bill, there was a provision that would retract and rescind the language that would open up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge for oil and gas drilling. So we're really hoping that can stay in. I don't think that's actually going to stay in, but we've been talking about the Arctic Refuge quite a lot lately, and that language that's in the House Appropriations Bill would really protect the Arctic and the Arctic coastal plain. Yeah. Like I said, I'm not real positive that's going to stand during the final conference bill, but it was a great piece of language, and we really supported that. In the Senate bill, this was not included in the actual bill language, like the House Arctic provision was, but this was included in the report language. But there's been a push to get our 568th National Wildlife Refuge, the Green River National Wildlife Refuge, which would be in Henderson County, Kentucky, and it's sort of in this belt of protected lands that people have been really growing in the state. This area has, wetland, bottomland hardwood, forest habitat, so we're looking at the protection of waterfowl, migratory birds, but it's also accessible public lands for hunting and fishing, environmental education, and recreation. So that's a really good piece. Fish and Wildlife Service is working on creating the Green River Refuge, so we're getting another refuge.
Yeah, that sounds like an exciting opportunity to demonstrate to Senator McConnell that refuges are important everywhere.
Absolutely. Yep, Kentucky is one of those states that only has one refuge right now. It's got Clark's River, which is in the western part of the state. So this new refuge would be in the eastern part in an area that really doesn't have a lot of refuges. And Kentucky, like I said, it only has one refuge. West Virginia is the only other state that only has one refuge in it. So,
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yep.
So obviously refuges didn't get all the funding that they need. What would full funding look like, and what are some of the funding areas that are in most need of increases or increased funding that didn't get what they needed in the House or the Senate bills?
So full funding, we have been saying for years that full funding for the refuge system is $900 million. Current funding right now is $488 million. These numbers that I just gave you earlier would bump that number up over 500, maybe 510 is what we're hoping for. But full funding is $900 million, so there's a huge disparity on what the refuge system needs and what it is currently or could even potentially be getting in 2020. So, what would full funding get us? It would get us, a built-out urban program. There are 14 designated urban wildlife refuges. Only four currently have funding. So hopefully, if we could get full funding, those refuges could be funded. We're looking at law enforcement presence that's well-funded and these men and women who are protecting visitors on national wildlife refuges and going after poachers and, doing all that important work, we'd be able to get significantly increased numbers of those folks on the ground. I think looking forward, I think one of the biggest issues that we're facing on refuges right now is invasive species and the lack of funding for invasive species.
Yeah.
There's just not enough funding and definitely not enough to go around for all these refuges.
Got it. Well, I'm going to put on my Schoolhouse Rock hat here for a second and ask you to put on your D.C. insider hat. The House passed their bill. The Senate passed their bill. But they're different, not just in their total bottom line number, but in the language that's contained within each of the bills. So that means the bills are headed to conference, where the final bill will get hammered out. is there opportunity or risk there for refuges and the refuge system? And what should we as advocates for refuges be on the lookout for? And then I guess I'd be curious to know, what's the timeline and anything that you see holding up final passage, including will the president sign this?
Well, I'm not going to opine whether the president will sign it or not. That's something that I cannot predict right now. So just to give you, flesh out what you were talking about with the conference. Yeah. So the House has passed their bill out of the full House, and the Senate passed their bill out of the full Senate. If the bills are not identical, which these are not, there has to be a conference set up. And the conference process is basically a joint committee between House members and Senate members. Each chamber selects their members, and then it's up to leadership to decide how many members are chosen for that conference. Then they get together, they hammer out their differences, and whatever bill this conference committee comes up with, it then has to go back to the full House and the full Senate for passage again.
Sure.
And then the president must sign it. So any dangers for the refuge system, I think we'd definitely rather be at that 514 number that this House has passed rather than the $504 million number that the Senate has proposed. The Senate bill has not passed yet out of the full Senate, just got reported last week. But I'm sure that that's going to be the number in the final bill unless there's an amendment on the floor. We would much rather be closer to that 514 number, which would be the $26 million increase that I mentioned earlier. Any calls to your senators, any calls to your House members, if folks live in Minnesota, Chairwoman McCollum she's the chairwoman of the Interior Subcommittee in the House, and she's been an amazing partner with us on, getting funding for refuges increased. So any outreach to anybody on the committee, on the appropriations committees, would be super helpful now. But I don't see a huge downfall for refuges. I think that we're probably going to get an increase unless something crazy dramatic happens, but I'm pretty confident that we're going to get an increase.
What's the timeline for when they'll select conferees? When will we be able to know who's most important to call?
Well, they're on recess right now. They'll be back in a few weeks. I believe it's the day after Columbus Day. So I believe that's the 15th, I believe. I'm not looking at the calendar right now, but I think it's the 15th. They're going to be back in town. So hopefully that week we'll be getting some conferees. It might be the week after that, though. So be on the lookout for mid to late October for conferees. They have until November 21st to pass something else. That's when the current continuing resolution that was signed last week expires. So we're looking at that timeline. They're going to have about a month to hammer out a deal and get it passed.
Yep.
We've seen the last few years that Congress hasn't been able to get a deal this quickly. Previous years, it's gone into the spring. I really, really hope that doesn't happen this year and that we can really get this bill done before Christmas this year.
Sure. What a great gift that would be. You use the term continuing resolution, and here in Washington, D.C., we hear that and its nickname CR kicked around quite a bit. Can you just tell us, give us a little education on what that means and why is it required?
It's required because I'm sure everybody remembers that over the last several years, we've had several government shutdowns. Once funding expires, this funding bill for FY19 expired on September 30th. If you do not get some kind of bill passed by midnight on September 30th, there is a government shutdown. Those bills can be anything from a bill that Congress has passed and agreed to and the president has signed, which is called regular order, where they've agreed on something and they've passed it. But that has not happened for a number of years. They can do what they call an omnibus bill, where all of these bills are lumped together into one bill and passed that way. Or you can do what we're currently under, which is called a continuing resolution or a CR. And what that means is they've just taken last year's funding, FY19 funding, and they just signed a bill that said this funding is extended until November 21st. And that's what we go off of. So it just keeps the government open, and so there's no shutdown.
Got it. There's no reason to think that that all of the spending bills have to be passed in order to move forward, right? I mean, we could pass this spending bill even if there are more contentious bills that are being held up. So this could get cleared in the timeline that you described before Christmas. Is that right?
It's possible.
Yeah. You didn't sound terribly confident there. So
it's possible. The interior bill has traditionally been fairly antagonistic. Like I mentioned before about that Arctic language, which would be considered a rider. Yeah. And, you know, it's a policy, it's a bit of policy language added onto a funding bill. So, you know, if we've got some House members who are insistent on that continuing, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, she's the chairwoman of the Interior Subcommittee in the Senate. And she's the one who put that bill in, that she's the one who, you know, would not allow that Arctic provision to continue to be in the appropriations bill. So, you know, if we have House members who insist on something like that continuing, or, you know, any other similar issues that come up, you know, the Interior bill has, you know, lots of potential to hold things up.
Yeah, I suppose the hope is that cooler heads prevail in conference, and they walk back to their respective chambers and say, we need to get this done, I suppose.
As long as there is $514 million for the refuge system, yes.
There you go. So, you know, lots of folks who are listening to this podcast are going to wonder, okay, what can I do? I want to help out. What would you say to somebody who wants to be a refuge advocate today and wants to do their part? Is it as simple as making a phone call, or should they be coordinating with you? What does it look like?
So, making phone calls to your members of Congress is always helpful, and telling them that you support the National Wildlife Refuge System and you support your home refuge, you know, whichever refuge is closest to you, the one that you hunt or fish on, or you take your kids to go bird watching on, or just to go hiking. It's really important for you to let your elected officials know that you support that refuge and, you know, the refuge system as a whole, because, you know, an individual refuge by itself does not provide, you know, this landscape level protection that the refuge system provides. So giving your member of Congress a call on our website, we have a number of take action alerts. Some of them are specific to, you know, individual issues that are ongoing that have a certain timeline, but we're also working on getting just some general action alerts on there. So if you, you know, you want to contact your member of Congress, there's an action alert that you can go to. There's a number of issues that we're working on. You know, you had mentioned, you know, the Desert Refuge, the Eisenbeck Refuge, Marine Monuments, Arctic, funding. There's all sorts of issues that you can reach out to your members of Congress on, you know, depending on, you know, which issues are important to you. But funding impacts every single refuge across the country, all 567 of them. So it's really, really important that we get this funding increased and really help, you know, the managers on these refuges get the funding that they need so that they can restore habitat and really, you know, protect wildlife populations and species and, you know, get folks out onto refuges.
Absolutely. And I know that the Refuge Association also has a helpline. So if anybody ever has any questions, they can check that out, pick that up off the website and give the Refuge Association a call to find out how they can get more information. You've almost certainly got an eye to the future. I mean, not to say that you aren't up to your eyeballs and alligators with what's going on right now, but what does next year look like as far as goals and ambitions for the refuge system in the eyes of the Refuge Association?
So we're always looking to increase funding. I think that if we can get a good push this year and get this, you know, $20, $26 million increase for the refuge system, that's a great start. We'll definitely be pushing harder on that next year and looking for some other issues that will really resonate with members of Congress and really push them to, you know, increase funding. Another issue that we're working on, so this bill is called the Refuge System Protection Act. And we've been working on this for a number of years, but I really think that we have an opportunity to get this passed in this current Congress before the we have it one and a half more years of this Congress in session. So really hoping we can get that. So what this bill does, just very briefly, so there are people that have gone onto refuge units and they've caused damage to them. You know, we've had folks who've, you know, they've, you know, pushed out, you know, bombed out, you know, latrines, and people have set fire to
four-wheeling in fields.
Four-wheeling in fields. They've, you know, we had somebody in Hawaii who went out and burned a boardwalk down.
Right.
And, you know, somebody, you know, went onto a refuge and, you know, dug out some pipeline for oil and gas. I mean, just like people do crazy stuff on refuges, tearing down trees. So the Refuge System Protection Act has been introduced in the House and the Senate. And what it would do is require people who cause these damages on the refuges, if they have to pay a fine or a fee in response to any civil or criminal charge from that, the money that they have to pay would go back to that refuge. Currently, any money they have to pay goes to the general treasury, which doesn't help the refuge that was impacted. So that's all this legislation does. It's really, really important for that specific refuge that was damaged. So we've been working on this for a long time, but I really think that we have the support in Congress now to really push this and get it passed.
Sure. Seems only fair that that's how that process would work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And well, some of these damages are pretty, they can be pretty expensive. You know,
sure.
Some of them are $5,000, but there's also been, you know, $100,000 damages, and it's really difficult for these refuges to absorb that out of their base budget. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we hope you're successful in securing increased funding for the refuge system, and want to say thank you so much for taking time to bring us up to speed on a myriad of funding issues facing refuges today. We look forward to having you back on Refuge Radio to talk more about some of the other hot policy issues facing refuges. Will you come back and join us, Caroline?
Absolutely. I appreciate being on today. Good talking to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And thank you to everyone who's listening to this podcast. October is an important month for our National Wildlife Refuge System because it's the month when we celebrate National Wildlife Refuge Week. Observed the second full week of October each year, National Wildlife Refuge Week celebrates the great network of lands and waters that can serve and protect America's wildlife by providing vital habitat to thousands of native species, including sandhill cranes, the American alligators, bison, and sea turtles. The National Wildlife Refuges offer outstanding recreation, too. Refuge Week is a perfect time to see why tens of millions of Americans visit refuges each year to enjoy birding, fishing, hunting, hiking, and wildlife watching. So get out this month and explore your National Wildlife Refuge. Until next time, we'll see you on the refuge.